by way of a little more background and introduction to begin these applications for ourselves, I just mention that when we would look back at 2 Kings 14 to see the reign of Jeroboam II, Jeroboam II was used by the Lord, actually, to restore a great deal of the lost territory of the people of Israel. It says there that from Hamath to Damascus, from the north to the south, all along the coast, there was a great deal of restoration. The Lord used Jeroboam II, even though he was doing evil. The Lord had used him to bring what appeared to be prosperity to the people. And we don't want to just make that application or make that observation without understanding the meaning for us. And it's a good reminder to say that we want to make applications to ourselves. A good way to do that is whenever we make a comment, we should try to say what that means for us is, and then we can make very evident that this is something for us as well. And what this means for us is that the Lord has his intentions to use whoever he's going to use for the progress of his people. He used Jeroboam II, and to all external appearances, it looked like there was a great deal of prosperity. It was a great deal of geopolitical success and expansion and restoration of the land that was theirs and so on. And yet, here comes Amos saying these various expressions of judgment. And chapter 1 must have made the people of Israel very happy, right? Just picture the people in, let's say, the town square. Amos arrives and he just starts making these pronouncements. And he's speaking against the Philistines in Gaza. He's speaking against the people in Damascus and all these other regions that have been so troublesome to them. Then he even speaks about the people of Judah. And in verse 4, where we began reading, it's the exact same expression that's been repeated all through chapter 1. For 3 transgressions of Judah and for 4. And the Lord is very stern towards the people of Judah. And if we were the people of Israel, we probably would be very pleased that finally Judah, who's so they always look down their nose at us, probably we think they feel that they are the only ones who are worshiping God. There's nothing wrong with our system of worshiping golden calves and so on. But then the Lord says, for 3 transgressions of Israel and for 4. And just as a general observation to lead us into this passage, we can see that the Lord gives a lot of statements about these different nations around. Many of them are very general. For example, in verse 4, when he speaks about Judah, they have despised the law of the Lord, have not kept his commandments. Probably the people of Israel will be very pleased to hear that the Lord is going to judge Judah. But when he reaches his words about Israel, look at how much is said about Israel and how much specific detail. Verse 6, they sell the righteous for silver. Verse 7, they pervert the way of the humble. There are immoral behaviors. There are greed motivated behaviors. And the Lord goes on and on and on. And it's not just 3 or 4 transgressions, which was kind of a poetic device to introduce the other nations. Now the Lord is very detailed, very specific. And it's not just 3 or 4. It's 6 and 7 and 8 and over all through these chapters. He has many specific details of their failures. And what we realize from this passage is the Lord knows precisely what is taking place among his people, among us. We may be very thankful to hear him judge others, but he wants our ears to be tuned to hear his words for us, to be ready to hear what he wants to say to us, because he has a lot to say to us. We're happy when he says something to others, but he has a lot to say to us, and he knows precisely what it is that he wants to describe. The people of Israel needed to hear this message, and Amos would bring it to them in great depth, great detail, because the Lord knew.
If I just may also just to give a brief look at what we have before us, because I really appreciate the fact that the Spirit of God led the saints here to take the book of Amos. One does not recall when is the last time a conference was taken. Usually, if we take the minor prophets, it's Malachi and Haggai. Hardly anybody takes the book of Amos. So the Spirit of God has something to say to us in looking at that book. And again, sometimes just nobody, you know, sometimes you wonder, what is that all about? So it's good to just know the person, know the prophet, and understand the book itself. So it will help us with that. His name is Amos, as first verse tells us, and the name means a burden bearer. He was a person that had a burden, had something of concern to him. He also tells us what town he came from, Tekoa. And Tekoa means a trumpet. I think you could now see the link, a burden bearer and a trumpet. It's kind of an interesting city. It was a city that is 10 miles in the southern part of Bethlehem. So if you go south from Bethlehem, 10 miles, it's Tekoa. And from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem, it is another 10 mile. So Jerusalem north, Bethlehem and Tekoa, almost the same distance. And as you read the book, you will find out that he is very, very familiar, because Tekoa was at the end of the fertile land. And after that, you have the desert. It's a land that was known for shepherd. But Tekoa also is mentioned in the scripture many times. And I think that's very important to us, because again, the scripture is very, very linked together. Tekoa was known to be a town or a city that have wise people in it. If you remember in 2 Samuel, when Abner was trying to use his political craftiness to bring Absalom back again before the due time, and he realized that David is very bright. As a matter of fact, that woman said, "You are as the angel of God, know everything." He picked up that lady who was very, very wise from the city of Tekoa, and she had that elaborate stories that she kept debating with the king later on, so he could see that it is, you know, just for peace sake, bring Absalom back. So Tekoa was known to be a city of wise people. And if you go to 2 Samuel in the, I think it's chapter 23, where we have the mighty man of David, one of them was from the city of Tekoa. I'm not giving you chapters or verses, because I think it's very important as we take notes that we go back and look at that book. Otherwise, it will be just an hour we sat at a conference and then we go to heaven and you will be wondering who is Amos. But if you read his book, I think when you see him right there, you would know who he is. So Tekoa was known to have wise people. Tekoa was known to have mighty people. And Tekoa was also known to have appreciate the principle of separation, because in the book of Nehemiah, it was the people of Tekoa that built part of the wall. So there were people who understood the matter of separation also unto God and make the wall to separate them from all of the evil of the world around them. So this is just very simply about the man. So a burden bearer, a person who's concerned about the condition of the people of God. A person, what he said, if the Lord have spoken, who is not going to be prophesied? He was a vessel ready when he heard the commandment of the Lord to go in. But he's also was a real man. He was a conscience of himself. He didn't say, this is the words, verse, of Amos, the prophet. He didn't say that he's a prophet. As a matter of fact, when he was challenged, he said, I am not a prophet. Yet the New Testament, because the book of Amos was quoted twice in the New Testament. It was quoted in Acts chapter 7 by Stephen, and it was quoted in Acts chapter 15 by James. And in both quotation, it said there, I think in the case of Stephen, he said the book of the prophets. And in the case of James, he said in the words of the prophet. So he is a prophet. Well established by the quotation that the Spirit of God used in the New Testament. But he was a man who said, he did not even say the words of Amos the shepherd. He didn't even say that. He said he's among the shepherds. He wasn't feeling that he is the most important person. I am. No, he was just, I am one among others. And that's really the right spirit, even for a person who was taken to pronounce judgment and words to the people around them. It's also important to see that he was a wise man. He's the one who said, therefore, the wise keep silent in these days. He was a wise man. He was a mighty man and a brave man to leave his own town and go all the way to the northern kingdom. Because remember again, he was from the southern kingdom. And he went to the northern kingdom to give the word of the Lord of judgment upon these people. So just a brief thing about the person. I would like to also say something brief about the book, but I don't want to take all the time if the Lord gives the opportunity.